With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, if I played this sound, if you heard this happen, that make you wince a little bit because like it's another group chat that is hopping and you just need a minute to yourself. Do you ever struggle ever so slightly with people just dismissing your feelings as first world problems? Well, like what can we do when it's all too much? Psychologist Alison Keaton is here with me now to tell us about the ideas in her new book. Alison, you're very welcome along to the show.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you so much for coming in with us today. I mentioned there briefly, but the idea of first world problems, I see this all the time in my friend group, in like people I meet. It's something that's clearly bothering them a lot and they'll go, oh, I mean, what first world problems, just to kind of dismiss it. But how can that do damage to us, really?
I think, like, I feel like I give out to my clients when they say, oh, first world problems, because they've completely dismissed that they feel upset about it. And words people say to me is, oh, this is so silly, or this is ridiculous. And then my ears prick up and I go, okay, so this person thinks they shouldn't feel bad about a situation or something that's gone in a friendship or their relationship, but they do. So we dismiss it completely and then we never actually get to why you actually feel upset or angry or frustrated. And I just think we're doing it more and more and more. And especially with first world problems, I think it's kind of ironic because when we look at mental health, the first world has lots of really serious problems. So I'm looking at two levels. I'm like, okay, genuinely our mental health needs some major kind of factors to support us.
Yeah.
And I mean, today's World Mental Health Day, but isn't every day mental health day?
It is.
You know, and like our mental health is much more vulnerable than our physical health, because it, like having a conversation with someone, if you have a good conversation, it kind of, you know, it can have a ripple effect that you feel great. But if you have a bad conversation with your boss or someone, all of a sudden you can feel the mood descend. So I think we just have to start actually allowing ourselves to feel how we do. And I suppose what's happened is we don't have the tools.
Yeah, I mean, we've just been kind of taught shove it down, you know.
Oh yeah.
Shove it as deep down as you possibly can, which is the worst thing we can do because it affects us in so many ways that like we don't even realize. Like our nervous system, we can't get into full wire nervous system is the key to how we feel. But what can we do to help?
I think I like what you say there, because I don't need everyone to know exactly what polyvagal theory is. Although I did drive my children demented whilst I was writing the book and they're walking around going, enough of polyvagal theory, seriously. I'm like, but it's so beautiful, it's so amazing. And I actually would like people to have some understanding that it is the science of safety.
Okay.
And it's how your nervous system kind of gets these messages of either warning or welcome. So we kind of scan people's faces all the time. We don't even know we're doing it. And we're like, okay, they're friendly. Ah, I'm safe. Or you're walking down that alleyway and you're like, ooh, I feel like someone's behind me. Then the warning comes in. So our nervous system is basically like this 24/7 surveillance system. And for people with, say, anxiety, or if they've experienced really upsetting or difficult or traumatic events, I think of it like the psychological sniper in your head.
Okay.
So it's like you tell yourself, okay, I'm safe, everything's fine, I shouldn't be afraid of flying, or I shouldn't be afraid of this presentation. And yet your body goes, yeah, well, I am.
There's nothing worse. And I know that there's someone listening right now that you were trying to convince yourself, but the tears are coming up and there's the lump in your throat and there's all the tightness in your chest. And you're like, I'm fine. Everything is totally okay. But it's not. Your body is like, you are not all right right now.
And I think it's really interesting. That lump in your throat is called the globus sensus. And it actually feels like
you're gonna choke.
A rock, doesn't it? So what happens is your body... You know, what your nervous system does is it's those kind of messages that we get from the inside. So say you're feeling a bit nervous, you'll know it because suddenly your heartbeats start, you know, beating a bit faster. It's like, you know, those round circle things they do in work and you introduce yourself. And, you know, you're sitting there dying, going, oh no, and your heart starts pumping. And no matter how much you say to yourself, stop, it's fine, I'm not going to die in this situation, but your body reacts as if the sweat.
The worst thing in the world.
Oh yeah, it's like, my name is. You know.
Tell us why you use remote controls and traffic lights to get ideas about your anxiety across.
Because polyvagal theory is a really complex system, I want it to be as relatable as possible. And I want you to be able to use it in the moment. So it can't be complicated. So I got the idea of the life remote control from my daughter. And during COVID, she was walking around the house and she kept going, pause. And I was like, Okay. And she was playing this thing called the life game. So she would make us stop, pause, and play.
Oh, sorry, it was like a real life Sims.
Yes. And I thought, this is brilliant. I said to her, can I rob that?
Yeah, please,
that's
thank
a
you.
Really good idea. And I thought, wouldn't it be amazing if we had a life remote control where, say, for example, you're a people pleaser and you just need that second to pause to say no. Because the easiest thing that's going to come out of your mouth is,
yeah, no problem.
Hey, can you come? Yeah, no problem. And your body's like, no, what are you doing? And you're smiling saying, yes, no problem, I can do that.
And it's a ripple effect inside you then where you're going, this is actually going to impact my week, not
yes,
just this next 10 minutes.
Totally. Yeah. So I just want people to imagine you had that remote control that could help you control your life,
yeah,
that you could pause and just in that moment go, okay, can I get back to you on that? Like, it's this very simple thing, but it's a game changer. Or when we want to stop something. So say you find it difficult in arguments and you find you get triggered in relationships,
yeah,
and you're like, I don't want to have the same argument again. You just stop and say, I've noticed I'm actually quite upset, and I would get people to learn that it's called flooding.
Okay.
So do you know when you have an argument with someone and then after the argument you think, oh my God, that would have been the best thing to say.
Oh, yes.
Right? I imagine it like a helmet on your head. And what happens is it's like the front part of the helmet goes forward. So that part of your brain that has the ability to be articulate shuts down.
Yeah.
And when your body's flooding, and your heart's pumping and you're so angry and you're so upset, you don't and can't find the words to express how you feel. So I want people to know, if you just stopped in that moment and go, oh, I'm going, I'm, and I suppose I use the traffic light with this, I'm getting to red, I'm going to actually lose my cool. You say to them, look, I'm definitely upset at the moment. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a 10-minute walk. I'll be back and then we'll talk about this. But that physiological break, It's what we call the vagal break. It actually helps your vagus nerve just to calm down in that moment. But you actually need to go outside, and it's not a beautiful walk. It's a stomp.
Yeah. Oh God.
And you're like, rah, 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 and you're giving out rubber. You're really giving out about the person, and then all of a sudden you're like, ah. And that's actually a physiological side. Do you ever notice when you feel relaxed, you do that?
Yeah.
It's a natural thing to do.
Isn't it so mad that taking 10 minutes before that argument could be irreparable damage? You know what I mean? Like, as in, if you let it go on, you'd say some things that are so nasty and you actually don't mean, and you'll storm out anyway.
Yes.
Whereas if you actually just learn to use your vocal and just go, hang on just one second, I actually just need 10 minutes, I will be back, I'm not storming out away from this, come back and it could be a completely different outcome.
Completely different. And look, the times when you do lose your cool,
yeah,
okay,
then they happen.
Repair, like when the rupture occurs, you just go back and repair. I'm really sorry, I lost my head there.
Yeah.
I think what happened was I was really upset and I felt like, and you explain what actually happened.
Yeah.
And again, in relationships, I find people, you know, again, it's that sense of, oh, you're totally overreacting. And maybe you are, but there's a feeling underneath it. And again, if we dismiss it, we're never actually getting to, I was upset because it made me feel like you don't love me enough, or I don't feel seen, or I don't feel valued. But to see how just underneath it, there's these kind of amazing information cues, and that's what our emotions are. They have a function.
Yeah.
But when we dismiss them all the time, they just keep building. And in our crazy chaotic world, like you said, with, you know, every minute it's bing, bing, bing on the phone, it's really overstimulating.
Let's actually come to that, because we did start off the show by playing that WhatsApp thing. And sometimes that is like, great, I've got a message. And other times that can throw you into such a spiral where you can't breathe, because you're like, I can't get back to another message. I can't look at this WhatsApp group right now. I can't see this work group. I can't see people contacting me outside of like an email. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It can get a bit too much. But like, they put us on track sometimes to anxiety, because we're just always on and always available.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, if you see anyone like, hi, how are you? Oh, grand, fine, busy, wrecked.
Yeah.
So stressed. And then we fly by. And the truth is, it is actually all too much for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and like, there are, I mean, how many WhatsApp groups do you have?
Yeah, too many.
You know, and the message is like, bing, 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 bing. And it's for our brains. We actually do like to do one task at a time.
Yeah.
But when you have all of those WhatsApps going off, and then you have your Instagram, and then you have your emails, and then you have someone, like, there's such an influx of demands and things that need our attention. Not all of it's bad. Like, some of it's very entertaining and fun.
Yeah.
But it still takes a lot of energy on our brain to kind of try and stay on top of it. And you might feel like you never get a chance to switch off. I think that's the hard part, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, like when I was a kid, you went home and you closed the front door and that was it. Whereas now,
oh my God, I talk about this all the time. Yeah. It's like, I was actually only having a conversation with my friends about this yesterday. I was like, we are so lucky at the time that we went to school because social media was only kind of just beginning. It was this new novelty, but it was still at a computer with a dial-up connection. And
yes,
anything that happened in school stayed in school.
Exactly.
You could go home, you could vent, you could be really angry, but you would still have to pick up the house phone to call one of your friends to
and
talk about it.
And ask permission to make the phone call.
100%, because the bills were coming in.
Yeah.
But it didn't follow you home
no.
on your phone, which is what everything, you don't even have to be in school for now. You can be in work. You don't leave anything where it is because it's always available to you.
Exactly. And that is really taxing on your brain.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes I will see it, like I will see, say one of my kids come in and their face looks a bit, you know, and I'm like, oh, and I'll know they've seen something or, you know, something has happened and they either feel excluded or left out. And I'm not even talking about my children. I'm talking about anyone in general.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that kind of home space where our bodies could be kind of calm. And I mean, that's, I suppose, what the core of the book is. I have zero sense of direction, right? I could get lost in this room if I tried. And I thought, wouldn't it be amazing? Because people say to me, like, I feel so lost. I feel so frustrated. I feel so confused.
Yeah.
And I actually think adulthood is really challenging, genuinely. And there was no, you know, guide map with it. That if you had an internal GPS system, and that's how I use polyvagal theory. That it actually is like, okay, here, I'm here, which could be I'm feeling anxious or yeah. I'm experiencing panic attacks. And where do I actually want to get to? So I use this lovely framework I made up called the three C's.
Okay.
So when you come at anything, so when we're talking about, like, you know, within the friend groups and people are saying I'm upset, but I shouldn't be. You come at it being curious and you're like, oh, that's interesting. I know I shouldn't be upset about this, but I actually am.
Mm-hmm.
And then you challenge it. And you're like, okay, I wonder why that actually is happening. I don't think it's actually related to this conversation I'm having now. Well, that's interesting. It's coming from something that happened to me when I was in school.
Yeah.
And the teacher asked me to read it loud and I'm feeling really vulnerable. Whatever it is. And then you bring in compassion. So if you frame it that you become curious rather than judge yourself for having the feeling in the first place, then challenge it. What can I actually do about this?
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of bring in the compassion, which Irish people find exceptionally difficult.
Well, we do, we don't. We find it exceptionally difficult, I think, to apply it to ourselves.
Yes.
Massively. We cannot give ourselves a second. But look at the way we rally at an Irish funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we are the best in the world for looking after our neighbours, but we need to look after ourselves day to day. We can't just wait for the tragic things to happen. We need to,
you know,
stop at the traffic light before we get there to that level of overwhelm. I could talk to you all day about this, but just one last thing. Winding down is really important, but how careful should we be about our wind down habits? Like, let's say we're having a glass of wine tonight. Is that helping with my anxiety or is it just holding it off till tomorrow?
Okay, no one's going to want to hear this.
Yeah.
But it's not helping.
Okay.
No. And look, it's not to demonize it.
Yeah.
But before bed, it's not great. Say with specifically with panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
People, like, the first time they've experienced it, normally they have been drinking the night before.
Yeah.
So they've been out. And I think Irish people are amazing. They call it the fear. It is the fear, mm-hmm. you know, so it has such a major impact. I think it's just, again, with compassion, just to question if you're using wine as a way of winding down.
Yeah.
That's all. And that sometimes it might be like, do you know what? I'm actually going to go have a bath or a shower. I'm going to get into pajamas and get into bed 15 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
Like, it's not much. And again, it's not waggy finger. I think we have so much information about what we should and shouldn't do. I think you got to ask yourself, what would help me? And why am I actually needing that glass of wine? Because it's an association. I think something dangerous that happened in Ireland is that people start having wine on the couch watching TV.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy to drink more than you mean to. So I think just do it consciously. Maybe have it with your dinner or... But just question it, but not with the giving out.
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting. I actually feel like I look forward to that glass of wine because it's really nice because the day has been mental. What's going on in your day to lead to that point?
Yeah. Have a little self-care moment around it.
Yeah.
Alison, it is so great to have you in with us. And Alison Keaton's new book, It's All Too Much, is out now. And... you can listen back to this on any platform that you get your podcast. We will put it up after the show because your voice is so soothing. I feel like I'm so relaxed. It's amazing. Thank you so much for joining us
today.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.